May the last one burn into flames.
Okay. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 212 of Electrified. I'm your host, Eric Lyons. This is the first of five straight episodes. We're going daily. All right, so that means you're going to hear from me today. What? Tomorrow? What? Wednesday? What? Thursday? What? Friday? What? Five straight, man. We're going daily. All right? Let's do this thing. It's going to be good. Quality content. Don't just think I'm putting the quantity out there and I'm forgetting about the quality. No. Still going to have great episodes. Just doing it five times in a row. Let's do it, man. Happy Monday. Happy Juneteenth, by the way. Happy Juneteenth. I hope you're not listening to this from work. I really hope not. I hope you're home right now. Maybe you're about to throw something on the grill. Because, happy Juneteenth, man. A lot of people don't understand the significance of Juneteenth. They don't. I had explained this, as I taught this year. When I taught, you know, the Civil War, and prior to that, even when I taught about the American Revolution. Let's be clear. July 4th, 1776, this country did become its own nation. It became its own free nation. It gained its independence from the crown. Yes, that did happen. And I'm grateful for that. Because without that, who knows where we'd be right now. Maybe I would have an English accent. I don't know. Have a spot of tea. You never know. But with that being said, yes, this country became a country. 1776. Got their independence. Got their freedom. Cool. But everybody was not free. Everybody was not free. So on the 4th of July every year, we are celebrating the independence of America, the freedom of this country. Not all of the people in it. Because we cannot forget, at that time, slavery was still very much a thing. So as a black man, as a black person, you have to look at that. When the fireworks are going up in the air and the bombs bursting into air and stuff, they were not talking about us. They weren't celebrating us. Celebrating their freedom from the crown. Now, that is the birth of the nation. That is the turning point of this country that did, you know, the American Revolution was huge. It was big. But slavery wasn't outlawed. The Emancipation Proclamation wasn't signed. Put into action till 1862, years after the American Revolution, right? Years after the United States got their freedom, became a country. Now, you say, well, okay, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, that must mean all slaves are free. No. Now listen. I rock with Big Abe because I think there's a perception of Abraham Lincoln that's out there that's not true. Listen, before Abraham Lincoln even thought about running for president, when he was a young man just in office running for Senate, he was always anti-slavery. Abraham Lincoln never supported slavery. Never. That's on record. But him signing the Emancipation Proclamation was also a strategy because at the time, the Civil War was popping off, right? So in order to get more numbers, he outlawed slavery in the Confederate States. So now, in order, you know, the reasoning for that is, look, hey, we freed y'all. We could also use y'all help in the Union fighting the Confederacy. So he brought in freed slaves to fight for the cause. Okay, cool. I get that. It was a smart move. But it also helped people as well. Now, slavery was not outlawed everywhere, because he was scared that border states, states that were in between, like a Maryland or Delaware, would flip. Like, oh no, we're gonna go to the Confederacy. So he had to, it took time. Slavery wasn't outlawed everywhere till around 1866. Okay? That's when slavery everywhere. 1865, 1866. So June 19th, 1865 is the day that we celebrate our independence, black people. Now, I hope I'm not losing y'all here. I hope I'm not talking y'all head off. I hope y'all still sticking with me, because it's going to be a good episode today, but I just had to get this off my chest. I did. Now, don't be confused. Don't be confused about the ending of slavery. Don't think it was just all roses and butterflies and it was just, oh yes, we're free, we can do whatever we want. No. 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 Because even still today, years later, we're still fighting for that freedom. Understand what I'm saying? Because you got to think about Reconstruction after the Civil War. What came after? What came during Reconstruction? Black codes, Jim Crow laws, all that type of stuff. They wanted to keep us separate. They wanted to keep us down. They wanted the country to remain broken. They didn't really want to reconstruct the country after the Civil War. W.E.B. Du Bois described Reconstruction. This is one of my favorite quotes. The slave went free, stood a brief moment in the sun, then moved back again towards slavery. You had sharecropping, stuff like that. All these different laws about working and how it was basically slavery, but with a little bit of money. That's how a lot of things went in Reconstruction. But the point I'm trying to make here, ladies and gentlemen, is that don't believe the one-sided history of this country. I'm not saying that it's fake news. I'm just saying there's more to the story than, oh, bombs bursting in air, I knew the flag was still there, all right, well, good. July 4th, go get you some dogs and burgers and pop some fireworks off. There we go, we're all free. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Gotta learn the complete history of the country to understand why we are here and why things are the way they are and how far we have come a long way as a people. Black people, white people, anybody who lives in this country is a citizen. We have come a long way. But there, as you know, there is still a lot of work to do. Okay? So, little history lesson for y'all. Just wanted to let y'all know. Like, I told my kids, like, you know, I'm not saying I don't not celebrate 4th of July. Like, you know, I'm going to go get me a burger. I'm going to get me a burger. But I look at it a little differently than I did when I was a kid. Like, you know, when I was a kid, it was, you know, my mom would get me, she'd probably go to like Gap or Old Navy and get me the flyest red, white, and blue fit. And you know, I felt prideful about that. You know, it's a country, 4th of July, ain't really know what I was celebrating. Then the older you get, you do your research, you pay attention to history class, and you say, oh damn, they wasn't talking about us. They wasn't talking about us in the national anthem. They wasn't talking about us. Well, when did we get our freedom? And then boom, you start questioning things. Once again, this is not me bashing the country, man. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. I'm not bashing the 4th of July. I'm not. No, no, no. All I'm saying is, understand what the 4th of July is. Understand what Juneteenth is. And that's it. That's all it is, man. That's all I wanted to let y'all know. All right. So, yeah, I spent 10 minutes on the intro segment. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and timestamp that and everything. Because it's real, man. It's real. You know? It's real. So, happy Juneteenth. Go put something on the grill today. Throw some fireworks in the air. And if they told you to come in, don't go in. I ain't going last year when I had to work with you. I said, hey, man, it's Juneteenth, man. I think I'm going to kick it at the crib today. I think my people have done enough work for me to chill today. No, for real, though. But, listen, that's all I wanted to let y'all know, man. Now we can get back to our regular scheduled programming. We can get to what y'all want to get to, which is the sports. So, let's play some music before we get into that.
I got lampin' on my feet, ride with choppers on my seat. All my bitches bad as hell, the hair and nails, the feet on fleek. Down there, Annie's got me geek. Ain't been sober in a week. I drop these bags, I'll grab a check and keep the conversation brief. I'm too different, I'm unique. I got bells inside my suite. Love the way she made me ski. In the bedroom, she a freak. But she classy in these streets. I made me in front of these streets. It's been years, I'm on the street. Bought the track, the rose leaves. I'm on grass, I'm on the Riker. Trying to race, put up your title. Only niggas I looked up to were trappers. Them was all my idols. The devil tried to take my soul. I sat down and I read the Bible. Waiting for this out of bloom right now. It's on its final cycle. I go shopping out of landing. We can shoot a star and plant on it.
Man, I said, the devil tried to take my soul. I sat down and I read the Bible. I know that's right, Money Man. That's Money Man on a streak. Because, you know, I'm about to be on a streak. Don't let that go over your head. But, ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to a new episode of Electrified. Episode 212 to be exact. Now, let's talk about this Ja Morant suspension. So, last week it was announced quietly. I thought it was going to be a big thing. Like, I thought as soon as the Denver Nuggets' hand was raised, Adam Silver was going to come out with a microphone, cut a promo, and say, oh yeah, by the way, Ja Morant, I didn't forget what you did. You're suspended 50 games. Like, I thought that's how it was going to happen. But a couple of days actually had passed before we had got the news of what the suspension was going to be, and it came out a light 25 games. 25 games is not bad to compared to what I was expecting. I thought they was going to give him 40. Now, the question becomes, was the suspension too light, or was it just right? And, ladies and gentlemen, I can just sit here and tell you, it was just right. It was just right. Come on, man. Listen. He technically, I'm not sure if he has his gun license, where he was during this time of OBK state, but even so, what law did he break? What law did he break? None of this resulted in any legal trouble. So, what are we talking about? It's not like he had the gun and was pointing it at the strippers. Like, it wasn't one of those. It's not like he was on Instagram Live with the blick threatening somebody. Like, it wasn't like he had the gun and was like, hey, yo, Dylan Brooks, if I see you, I'm on your ass. Like, it wasn't none of that. He just was flashing his gun for like 2 seconds. So, it's like, yeah, we can be upset with Ja Morant. We can be disappointed in Ja Morant. We can want Ja Morant to do better as a young black man and somebody who was supposed to be a role model in the face of the league at some point. But we can't crucify him for this. We can't. I think that he's made dumb decisions, but we all make dumb decisions. I don't think that he's being smart about the way he's carrying himself, but we all are not the best. Listen, man, we all have our issues. We do. We all have things that we do that are not necessarily the right thing in other people's eyes, right? We may not move a way in which people be like, you know what? You probably shouldn't be doing that. But we got regular 9-to-5s. Some of us. I don't know. I don't know. You might be listening to this. You might be in the league. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. As an educator, I probably wouldn't be waving a gun on Instagram Live. I'll tell you that right now. You know, I got kids that follow me on social media that know me and look up to me in a way and be like, yo, what's up with Mr. Lyons? Why is he waving a gun on Instagram? So, yeah, I keep my Instagram PG, bro. Only thing wild you might see on my Instagram is a song that's the explicit version. But other than that, fam, my Instagram is nothing but memes and sports. So, yeah. And clips from, like, The Wire or something like that. That might get you a little a rating of rated R or TVMA. But other than that, fam, ain't nothing going on my Instagram, right? But I'm a regular person. Nobody's checking for me. Nobody's waiting for me praying on my downfall. I don't know, though. Somebody could be praying on my downfall, but good luck, because it's not been working. But when you are a high-class athlete making millions upon millions of dollars with a new Nike shoe on the way out that already sold out on pre-orders, allegedly, you have to move a certain way, brother. You have to move a certain way. You can't be out here just doing whatever you want and thinking there will be no repercussions. Understand what I'm saying? Like, your games, like when you play basketball, some of your games are shown on the Mouse Network over there on ESPN. The Mouse runs that. Mickey runs that. So do you think Disney wants to be associated with somebody, a gun brandishing guy? Like, no, fam. They don't want that. They don't want that. Now, Nike, I'm surprised Nike stuck with you. That's a good thing. Because, you know, obviously, they know that the money is coming in. And they say, hey, we can't really, this ain't like Kyrie. It's a little different. It's like, you know what, we getting money from Kyrie, but it ain't really that much. No, Ja Morant, he's going to be a cash cow. So we going to strap the rocket to his back and just pray that he gets himself together. Because we ain't dropping him. We sticking beside him. So, yeah. Can't do that. Right? Now, Adam Silver, on the other hand, I truly believe that Adam Silver felt betrayed. Because, like, you have this situation in season. We try to rectify it there. We have a conversation. You come back. And then, as soon as I turn my back for 1 second, you're back doing something like that again. Okay, so now, Jod, you're playing with me, and I gotta take my belt off, man. We gotta do something about this. Now, Adam Silver, I truly believe, is one of, if not the best commissioner in sports, and he is a very understanding guy. And he is, you know, he was very lenient with Ja Morant in this situation. So let's read a little bit. Let's take a look at some things here that are important about this suspension. So, when you look at the 25-game suspension in comparison to other things that has happened in the league, let's think about it this way. Miles Bridges, he got suspended for 30 games. So, his situation was he pled no contest to a felony domestic violence charge. So, Adam Silver says Ja Morant's actions were a safety issue, not a legal one, which was the case for Miles Bridges. Now, Miles Bridges' situation was legal. Okay? Legal. Felony domestic violence. He got 30 games for that. Ja Morant got 25 games for just flashing a gun on Instagram. If Ja Morant would have got more than 30 games, everybody, including myself, would have been looking at Adam Silver like, so somebody beating the hell out of a woman is less than somebody just flashing a gun on Instagram. Like, it would have looked nuts. It would have looked very bad. That would have just told me that the NBA, Adam Silver, does not value women, victims of domestic violence. It would have been a joke. It would have been a clown show, a circus, a SHIT show. Now, I know over in the NFL, things are a little different. So I ain't going to touch that about how many guys have been pats on the ass and they just get right back in the league after doing something like that. But hey, we talking about the NBA. So, if you want to go way back to Gilbert Arenas and Javarius Crittenton, they were both suspended for the rest of the season in January 2010 after an incident involving guns in the Washington Wizards locker room. So Arenas got 50 games. Javarius got 38 because Arenas had been suspended for 12 games before the NBA commissioner, David Stern, made his official ruling. So in John Morant's case, the guns were not on team property, but this was the second offense following the March incident. All right, so everybody was talking about Gilbert Arenas' 50 games. I did see that on Twitter, but I'm like, that's different. They had the straps in the locker room. Now, having the strap is cool. It's all right. If you got a strap, you got a strap. I'd rather get caught with it than without it. But that's just me. I don't have any guns. But if I did, I would rather, have it than not have it, right? So Ja Morant was away from team facilities. He was away from team property. He wasn't on the team plane. He wasn't on the team bus. He wasn't at the practice facility. He was not there. See, listen here to my sports gambling NFL people. If you're going to do something, if you're going to do anything, do it away from the team facility. That's all I have on that. So Ja Morant was in the club. Ja Morant was in this man's car. He's away from team facility. It's a much lesser offense. Now, what rule did he actually break? Let's break that down, right? So, Adam Silver said, when we have a standard of conduct detrimental, at the end of the day, it's one based on what we see as the values of this league and what our expectations from our players are in terms of the image we're portraying to our fans. So, it's like I said from the beginning, it's an optics thing, man. It's an optics. Adam Silver went on to say, so it's not a legal standard, it's a private organization standard. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand about these suspensions, about these things when they happen. Fam, the NBA, the NFL, these sports leagues, they are privately owned companies. Their rules and their laws don't have nothing to do with the outside world. Understand what I'm saying? It's different over there. Because at that point, you're representing your company. You're representing who you work for. You're representing not only the company, but the company's sponsors, who puts money into the company. You're representing investors. You're representing sponsorship. You're representing TV networks all in one. So that's why this is a problem. You don't see Trae Young. You don't see Jason Tatum. You don't see Jaylen Brown. You don't see Anthony Edwards or any other young black superstar in the league right now doing stuff like this. Because they know they have an image to keep. And for me, it's not just about the guns. It's about some of the company that Ja Morant has been keeping. I mean, you watch a Memphis Grizzlies game. You see Ja Morant's dad and like 30 other people they don't look like, they don't look too safe to be around, is all I'm saying. He might be safe around them. I might not be safe around them, is all I'm saying, right? You gotta watch the company you keep, man. Like, it kills me when guys make it out the hood. He didn't even come from the hood, damn it. When guys make it out and want to keep everybody with them. I get it. I get it, man. You want to be loyal to the soil. You want to show like, yo, I'm still rocking with the hood. and the hood's still rocking with me. But see, the hood should rock with you without you having to spend all of your goddamn money on them. You understand what I'm saying? Because for me, I'll tell you straight up, when I blow up and I start making them that cheddar, I'm gonna put money into my neighborhood the way I came from. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm gonna make sure the rec centers are right. I'm gonna make sure everything is right down there. I'm gonna look out for certain people. Family. I'm going to make certain things, make sure things run a certain way. But I'm not about to buy Lil Tay and Lil J a bunch of chains and have them flying with me to game when I'm covering game. I'm not going to do that. That's not helping the community. No, I'm not taking people for a ride. I'm not. No. That's not what we're doing. And that's what a lot of guys do. Hold on. We good? That's what a lot of guys will do. I'm not doing that. No. And I'm not. And another thing that kills me, you make it out of the hood, but now you just want to stay in the hood. Brother, get out of there. Get out of there, man. The hood don't love nobody. Understand what I'm saying? Hood don't love a soul. People get jealous and want to take what you got at any cost. Even if they don't get it, they might just take you off this earth. If they can't have it, you can't have it. You gotta be careful, man. You have to be careful. Have to. So, what does a return to the league like for John Morant? So, Morant, he briefly enrolled in the counseling program in Florida. This was after the incident in March. He said he learned how to manage stress better. All this. All right, so now Adam Silver said, hey, we're gonna get some new counseling for you. So, he says, prior to his return to play, he will be required to formulate and fulfill a program with the league that directly addresses the circumstances that led him to repeat this destructive behavior. So, I mean, my thing is, I'm guessing that we're not getting everything. I think that there's more to it than, oh, I just want to flash my gun. I think that they're trying to, you know, turn this into a mental thing. And it could be that. We don't know what John Morant's going through off the court that is making him act out. Because I look at people, and when they do stuff, it's like, well, why are you doing this? What made you make that decision? Not once, but twice. How did you get here? How did we get to this point? Where can we go to find the answer to the way that you're behaving right now? And I think that that's what they're trying to do. I mean, you hear guys like Stephen A. Smith, who is very dramatic. But for him to say that he's had conversations with NBA people, and they think that they're more so worried about if John Morant is going to be around living in 5 years. That's telling, man. And you know, Stephen A. Smith, he says a lot of things, but I don't think he would lie about that. I think that there are people who are genuinely concerned for this young man's safety. But if you are, let's not do it on social media. Because, you know, I hate guys like Steven Jackson, who is a freaking clown. Steven Jackson is a clown, by the way. I hate when guys go on social media and type these paragraphs or send out these long video messages trying to little bro somebody. Fam, if you don't go DM that dude or call him or something, try to get in contact with him personally. Why are you telling us? Why are you giving me the message? I don't want to hear that. It's not for me. It's weird. I hate when people do that. So, obviously, they're trying to get John Morant, get to the root of the problem. All right. He's going to lose some money. He's going to lose some money, you know, during his games, you know, the games that he's missed. So, yeah, man. I mean, as far as the outlook of the team goes, they do already have played without John Morant. And I don't think that 25 games will kill them, but we'll see if the Grizzlies are fine in the West again this season. But I think the suspension was appropriate, man. I don't think 25 games was too much. I think that was just right. I don't think he needed more than that. If anybody needs to get suspended for over 25 games, It's Zion Williamson. Because Mariah Mills has told us so much over these last 2 weeks. And she... Hold on. Let me go check her Twitter. See if she... if she's saying anything else. Because I checked the other day. She was still going. So, let's look up Mariah Mills. Unless they deleted her Twitter again. Oh, no. She's still here. Oh, no, that's... wait, no, I don't think that's... I think this is the burner. Hold on, where is the... oh, they may have got her out of there again. Oh, no. That's too damn bad. No, I... wait, hold on. Oh, no, nope, there she is. There she is. Oh, no. 1 hour ago. You like these knotless braids on me if you don't know that's the style that Zion wanted her. Yeah, she's still going. She's still going. These tweets are from 18 hours ago. Yeah. Yeah, she's... oh, she wished Zion a happy Father's Day yesterday. Yeah, man. Suspend Zion for 50 games, bro. Suspend Zion Williamson for 50 games. That's who needs a 50-game suspension. Zion Williamson. Because what have you done to these women, to this woman, for her to be tweeting about you on a daily basis, hour in and hour out? Zion Williamson, you have turned this woman into a terrorist. She is telling us information about you and your relationship that I involuntarily know now. Zion Williamson is the real problem. John Morant, he's okay. Zion Williamson is a real threat to world peace. Lock him up. Lock him up. Lock him up. Lock him up. You know who else needs to be locked up? Kevin Durant. He needs to be arrested. Get Kevin Durant off the streets, please. He is a menace to society. He is a danger to everybody in the NBA. Get him off the streets. So, yesterday, the Phoenix Suns were able to trade for Bradley Beal. And they got him. Hold on. Are we good? They got him for next to nothing. Alright. So the Phoenix Suns got Bradley Beal and the Washington Wizards got a chicken box with some mambo sauce on it. I know that's what y'all like down there. That's all they got. I mean, fam, Chris Paul, Shamit, and some pick swaps, not even first rounders, is insane. And I just saw a clip of Chris Paul on, I think, CBS This Morning, talking about he was on a plane, he didn't know it was going to happen. Chris, shut the hell up, man. Why? Don't act surprised. Fam, you like 50? It's over, okay? Go to the Clippers. Please don't go to the Lakers. If not, go to the crib. It's over. But, in all seriousness, it's interesting. It's nasty because the Suns CEO, his son is Bradley Beal's agent. When I found that out the other day, I said, oh, he's not coming to Miami. Nope, he's not. And apparently the Heat are looking for bigger and better, meaning Dame Lillard. Now, I can support that. I'm good with that. Yeah, I want Dame. I didn't really want Beal anyway. I didn't think that was going to get us over the hump. I think that Damian Lillard, Dame will get us over. So bring me Dame, please, Miami. But yeah, I wasn't getting excited about Bradley Beal. Listen, any Miami Heat fan who gets excited during the summer, you are an unserious group of people. Fam, we get our hearts broken every summer, except for the summer of LeBron and except for when we got Jimmy. But outside of that, fam, we were supposed to get KD. We were supposed to get James Harden, even though I didn't want him. We were supposed to get Kyrie. Like, just don't happen for us. So, if we get Dame, I'll feel good. But, once again, Kevin Durant, formed somehow, gets a super team. And it's interesting, though. It is. Because it's like the NWO for him. It's New World Order, again. So, when I look at Kevin Durant's track record of the quote-unquote super team, I think of the NWO. I think that the Warriors were the original NWO. Hulk Hogan, Nash, Scott Hall. They were cool. They were dominant. They were taking the league by force Everybody was scared of them. Everybody took them serious. It was like, yo, get out the way. The NWO coming. But then you had the Nets. I look at the Nets like the NWO Wolfpack. The red and black paint. Not as cool. Hella heads there. They got Sting involved. It was just not a good time for WCW. And that's when the WCW was dying, right? Now I'm looking at the Suns with Bill, Booker, and KD. This is NWO 2002. This is WWE's version of the NWO. Not really taking them serious. Not really scared. Not really concerned about anything the Suns are about to do. Fam, I do not give a damn that Bradley Beal is on the Suns. I don't. I don't think the Suns team is equipped to do much. Fam, they're going to have to put up like 145 points a game just to win. And if they get to the playoffs and run out, you know what? They'll probably go to the playoffs. But are they going to beat the Nuggets? No. Are they going to beat the Mavs? Probably not. I just don't see this Suns team making any noise, man. This is NWO 2002. I'm not taking them serious. I mean, it's cool. Bradley Beal is a great player. But am I shaking in my boots at Bradley Beal, Booker, and KD? I'm really not. I'm not, man. I'm not. But this is interesting, though, with Kevin Durant, though. Because outside of Golden State, what has he done? What has he won? What is Kevin Durant's legacy outside of Golden State? I mean, listen, individually, yeah, he's a great scorer. He has MVP. What else though? You know, I'm not discrediting the man's accolades. I'm talking about as a team player, what has he won? What has a Kevin Durant-led team won? Nothing in OKC. Nothing in Brooklyn. And so far, nothing in Phoenix. You got to start looking at Kevin Durant a little sideways if the Suns don't win anything with this squad. You have to. You have to, because y'all swore up and down when they formed that up there in Brooklyn. It was curtains. It was scary hours. Yeah, it was scary, all right. Scary for them. One scary for us. Scary for them. So like, what are we really talking about here? What are you talking about? Understand what I'm saying? What are we talking about? I'm not worried about the Suns. It's June 19th. We'll revisit this conversation again, maybe after the All-Star break. But I'll say right now, on June 19th, that by the All-Star break, nobody will care about the Suns. Like, nobody's going to be scared. I'm not scared of the Suns, bro. I'm not worried about Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant. Like, that doesn't even scare me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think the Brooklyn team, when that was formed, that was a little scary. Especially as a Heat fan in the East. I'm like, oh my God, what is about to happen? The Warriors, they scared me. This don't scare me. This doesn't move me, man. This does not move me. At all. At all. Does not move me. It doesn't. Does not move me. All due respect. Just doesn't move me, man. Does not move me. Let's see what we got, man. Let's see what's next. All right, let's go in between the ropes to wrap the show up, man. Let's go in between the ropes. Let's get some boxing news discussed. Let's talk some boxing. And let's get it in, man. Let's get it in. Because we got some things that happened over this weekend. We got some things that has happened this past week in the news. And it when they say history repeats itself, that's not a lie, man. It's not a lie. Not a lie. So let's talk about Oscar De La Hoya and Ryan Garcia. So this comes from Mike Coppinger. All right, he talks about the suit. So here's what's going on. Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions filed a lawsuit against Ryan Garcia and his attorney and advisor, Guadalupe Valencia, on Friday in the U.S. and U.S. District Court of Nevada to enforce his contract with the star boxer. The suit comes 1 week after Garcia's legal team sent Golden Boy Promotions a demand letter alleging violations of the promotional agreement as well as California and federal law that invalidate the contract. So this is what this comes from, the copy of the lawsuit from Golden Boy. All right, and some of the letter from Ryan Garcia. So it says, Golden Boy has been proud to have worked with Ryan Garcia for the last several years and to help catapult him to the kind of stardom that led to the biggest boxing pay-per-view event in years just 2 months ago. With this filing, we are seeking to ensure that Ryan and his team will honor the remainder of his contract, a contract that Ryan himself called one of the most lucrative boxing deals for a prospect in the history of the sport. Since then, Ryan has moved on to becoming a legitimate contender, and we will continue to present Ryan with the best possible opponents that can eventually lead the way to a world championship and historic legacy. Now, you go back to 2020, when Canelo had this problem. Very similar. Now, Ryan Garcia, his letter, it suggests that Golden Boy entered conflicting agreements with his top boxer and his broadcast promoter, partner DAZN. This is damn near exactly what happened with Canelo and Golden Boy. Canelo took them to court after he signed that big insane deal with DAZN. Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy tried to make Canelo a sideshow and have him fight UFC people and weren't listening to anything he had to say. Canelo was like, man, no, I'm out of here. Got out of that contract, took him to court, won, and did this. He's doing his own thing. So, he just, this is crazy, man. This is insane. Like, one of the things, So Ryan Garcia, he signed his contract extension in 2019, right? So it allowed him to fight on pay-per-view with any network, right? But what happened in April, it says it could not happen unless it was broadcast on DAZN because of an exclusive agreement Golden Boy had separately negotiated with DAZN. So the pay-per-view fight for Davis was broadcast by Showtime, but also carried the fight on the streaming service and was paid $1.25 million to step aside fee. Right, so $120,000 of that, which Garcia personally paid to DAZN, according to the letter. Golden Boy is obligated to promote and enhance Ryan Garcia, not malign him on Twitter, and file a public baseless lawsuit against him, Garcia's attorney, Bo Pearl of Paul Hastings, in a statement provided by ESPN on Friday. He said, ironically, the lawsuit itself constitutes a breach of the very agreement Golden Boy is seeking to enforce. It is obvious retaliation to a letter detailing multiple asserted breaches of contract by Golden Boy. Rather than address these issues in mediation, Golden Boy rushed to court to sue its fighter. To be sure, we will respond to this gamesmanship and fully enforce all of Ryan's contractual rights as Golden Boy, as well as his rights under the state and federal law. Now, Canelo Alvarez got released from his contract in Golden Boy and DAZN in 2020 after it was argued that the language in his deal with the promoter didn't mesh with Golden Boy's contract with his broadcast partner retaining the trilogy fight with Triple G. Now, Triple G and Canelo, that third fight almost didn't happen because of DAZN and Golden Boy. More so Golden Boy, because now, granted, Canelo is a free agent via he fights on DAZN via Matchroom, and it's a whole thing. But Garcia also argued that Golden Boy violated California's 7-year rule for personal service agreements. He signed with Golden Boy November 1st, 2016 and re-signed September 18, 2019. Garcia claims the contract should terminate November 1st. De La Hoya himself argued that Top Rank violated the 7-year rule when he sued Bob Arum's company in 2000. Once again, history repeats itself. All right, so it's a long, you know, couple more things about, you know, different legal languages involved and everything. But listen, man, it's hard working for a guy when It's hard working for a guy who's very immature and wants to not only sue you, but go on Twitter to tell everybody about it, man. It just doesn't make sense in this point in age where a guy like Oscar De La Hoya is running anything. Like, fam, imagine your boss goes on Twitter to trash you. You know, it's funny because this has happened to me before. Back in 2021, when I was working for Pro Sports Extra, the guy who ran that network, that site, when I left, yo, wrote a hit article against me. A hit, like, legit trashed me. Put screenshots of our messages out and everything. Like, I've been there before. I could have sued his ass. I should have sued his ass. I probably own his company by now. But, yeah, and I could have filed for, like, racism because I was, like, the only black writer there. Never mind. That's the whole thing. But, yeah, fam, like, imagine working for somebody like that. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Oscar De La Hoya is immature, bro. And see, what Oscar knows is, so he knows, that's funny because he's a cokehead. But this is what's going on here. When Canelo left in 2020, Oscar De La Hoya probably looked at Ryan Garcia and said, you know what? You're the future anyway. I'm going to let him, you know what? He can go. He's going to get his freedom. He's out of here, but I still got you. A couple years later, Ryan Garcia is more established. He's older. Fam, this is all he's got. I couldn't tell you anybody else in that Golden Boy stable right now. I couldn't. That has star power and is a legitimate contender. I couldn't tell you. So Oscar De La Hoya knows, fam, if Ryan Garcia leaves Golden Boy, it's over. It's over. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. And it's sad from the business aspect because depending on how nasty this gets and how long this takes, who knows when we'll see Ryan Garcia in the ring again. So it's like you want this, as if you're Ryan Garcia, you want this to happen as quickly as possible because you only fought once this year, and that was in April. It's June now. You only got not even 6 months of the year left to get back in the ring this year if you want to. Now, what it's going to come down to is who's promoting me if it's not me, and where am I going to be fighting at? Because if you can't get out of this contract, who are you going to be fighting? It's going to probably be on the zone, and it's probably going to be whoever the hell Golden Boy wants you to fight. So, yeah, man, you want to, this legal battle, you want this to go quick if you're Ryan Garcia. And it's like, depending on De La Hoya and Golden Boy, because they're still looking at Ryan Garcia like a meal ticket, they're going to try to hold him as long as they can and hold this whole thing up as long as they can. So he, you know, basically, you know what, whatever, and get him in the ring so he can finish out his contract. That's really what I think is the strategy for Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy. Ryan Garcia is trying to get the hell out of there. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I really don't. I don't blame him, man. I mean, because you look around you and you look at most boxers, most of them are promoting themselves. Or you know, they're on PBC and getting promoted through Al Heyman and, you know, guys like that. But most of these guys, you know, their own promotion teams now. Like Canelo, he's working with Eddie Hearn, you know, for the, you know, getting the fights on pay-per-view and stuff like that. But Canelo and his team, they do everything in-house, you know. But I don't know, man. I hope for his sake that this doesn't be a long, drawn-out thing. But you got to feel bad for the guy, though. But do you really? Because, I mean, I'll give him a pass. He was young. He was naive when the thing went down with De La Hoya and Canelo, so he gets a pass for that. But now you see, brother. Now you see. Sick, ain't it? You hate to see it. Speaking of Canelo, is he ducking smoke? Is he ducking smoke? Now, last week it came out that Canelo was looking at a fight at cruiserweight, which is 200 pounds. He already got dealt with at 175, so he was going to move up to 200 and fight old-ass Badu Jack. Badu Jack, went on Twitter the other day and said, yo, I'm not fighting Canelo next. They wanted to weight drain the old man and have a rehydration clause because they felt that the weight was going to be too much. Duh. So then it came out that he would be fighting maybe Charlo, maybe. But it's like, all right, that's a cool fight too. We asked for that fight as well. But when you got David Benavidez knocking at your door and you doing everything but answering that door, I gotta look at you sideways, champ. I gotta look at you sideways, champ. I don't like it. You're supposed to be the man, bro. You're supposed to be the king. You can't call yourself El Rey and not defend that castle, not defend that crown. I don't want to see Canelo fight nobody but David Benavidez in September. Point blank. I'm sorry. I don't want to see anybody else in that ring with him but David Benavidez. But I'll leave that for there. I'll leave that right there. We'll maybe get back to that tomorrow. What else I saw this weekend, man? Tim Zhu is a star. He's next. First round knockout. He's next. Charlo don't want this move. Two fights in 98 days. Yeah, that boy's serious. He's here. But yeah, man, that's all I got for you guys today. I'll be back tomorrow for episode 212. So yeah, get ready for that. Yeah, man, I told y'all we live all week. We live all week, man. Every day, daily episodes of Electrified. 5 episodes, 5 days. So thank y'all for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all the support. Make sure you like, retweet, all that good stuff for the 212th time. Oh, we got to run that back. For the 212th time, I'm Eric Lyons, and you have just been Electrified. Brother, we can't quit. It's gonna cost you.